Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time. Tea time lecture.
The Battle of Moytura. In the First Battle of Moytura, the Tuatha-De Danann were victorious, but a terrible wound was inflicted on their king, Nuadhu. His arm was cut off. The physician of the Tuatha-De Danann, Dian Sect, went to work on Nuadhu and made a beautiful arm for him out of silver that worked just as well as the arm he had lost. But the laws of the Tuatha-De Danann were clear. No man who was in any way mutilated could be king, so Nuadhu had to relinquish his throne. The Tuatha-De Danann had to decide who should be their king. They chose their greatest warrior, Breas. Breas was a strong, beautiful young man, and he was the son of two races. One of his parents was Formorian, and the other, Tuatha-De Danann. It was thought that this would be a benefit, and that he would be able to bring the two races of people closer together. Unfortunately, it turned out that Breas was a terrible king. He imposed heavy taxes on the Tuatha-De Danann to increase his own wealth. And worse still, he allowed the Formorians to come in and impose taxes of their own, with no limits. So the Tuatha-De Danann were oppressed from within and without. But Breas's worst crime, in the eyes of all, was his meanness. One day, a travelling bard came to Breas's fort to visit him. Expecting to be made welcome and given the best of everything, as one should do with a guest, he was shocked when Breas put him in a cold room without even a fire and left him alone all night with only a dry crust of bread to eat. He was so appalled by Breas's miserliness that the bard composed the very first satire in Ireland, lampooning Breas for being so mean. The song travelled up and down Ireland ahead of him, and he was heard at every gathering. So it destroyed Breas's reputation. The Tuatha-De Danann rose up against him and deposed him. And ever after that, the kings of Ireland made sure to respect the powers of the bards and give them their due. They were still at a loss, however, as to who could be their king. Dian Sect, the physician, had restored the function to Nuadhu's silver arm, but it was still a prosthetic, and there was nothing more that his skill could do. But Dian Sect's son, Miak, was a physician of even greater skill than his father. He managed to grow Nuadhu's arm back and restore him to wholeness. This was cause for great celebration among the Tuatha-De Danann, as Nuadhu of the Silver Arm was able to take up his office of kingship again. But Dian Sect was terribly envious of his son Miak's skill, and in a jealous rage he killed him. Miak's sister, Ermid, wept tears of grief over her brother's grave, and from those tears sprung up all the healing herbs of the world. When he saw that these herbs were growing, and that they would mean his skills as a physician would no longer be needed, Dian Sect again gave in to his jealousy and scattered the herbs to the corners of the earth. And still, to this day, no one knows the healing properties of all the herbs. Having been deposed as king, the first thing Breas did was to run to the Formorians for help. They gathered an army to take on the Tuatha-De Danann and restore Breas's rule. The army was led by Balor, the great hero from Donegal. He had one eye in his forehead that was so poisonous that whenever he opened it, it split rocks in two and killed anyone in its path. There seemed to be no way to defeat him. At this time, Balor was very old, and his eyelid had grown heavy and drooped down over his eye, so that five men had to stand behind him with hooks in the eyelid to open it up and direct it at his enemies. Now, many years before that, Balor's daughter, Etna, and a Tuatha Danann called Cian had their very own love story, and they had a child together called Luhuk. Balor had been told that his grandchild would be the death of him, so he had decided to put the grandchild to death by casting him out to sea. But the druidess, Birog of the Mountain, rescued him and brought him safe to his father. Cian named the child Luhuk and fostered him out to a smith, where he could learn all the arts that he could. Luhuk grew up a child of wonderful skill and insatiable curiosity. He asked questions of everyone he could and learned as much as he was able from everyone he met. When the Tuatha Danann heard that the Formorians were gathering their forces, they assembled an army at Tara to fight. Luhuk decided to go and join them there. He journeyed to Tara and knocked at the gate. The order had been given not to let any stranger into Tara, in case he might be a spy from the enemy, unless he had some skill that would be useful in the upcoming battle. The gatekeeper asked him what skill did he have. "I'm a magician," he said, but they already had a magician. "I'm a cook," said Luhuk, but they already had one of those. "I'm a smith." "No, we have one of those." "I read the stars." "We already have someone to read the stars." And on it went, he listing his skills and the gatekeeper refusing. And at last Luhuk said, "Go and ask your master, have you any one man who can do all of these things?" And so he was let in. One of the warriors of the Tuatha Danann, a great strong man, decided to challenge this newcomer and see what he was made of. He bent down and pried up a huge flagstone, bigger than 10 men, lifted it up into the air, and carried it to the next hill. Without saying a word, and without any sign of aggression, Luhuk quietly walked out, picked up the flagstone, and threw it back, so that it landed exactly where it had been picked up out of the ground. In that way, he managed to calm things down and prove his strength without any conflict. The Tuatha Danann were so impressed by this young man that they asked him to lead their troops into battle against the Formorians. This proved to be a very wise choice. The first thing he did was to inspect all of the Tuatha Danann troops, identify all their strengths, and how best to use them in battle. He devised great strategies and invented new weapons for them to use. The other Danann made their own preparations for battle. The Dagda convinced the war goddess Morrigan to be on their side. Then the Dagda went to the Formorians to speak with them and see if he could make peace. Even though the goddess of war was on their side, he would prefer not to fight than to fight. Instead of engaging in the peace process, they played a mean trick on the Dagda to try and disgrace him. The Dagda, disgusted with the Formorians and the way they'd made a joke out of hospitality, left disappointed that they couldn't talk things out. By the next day, everyone had done their job so well, particularly the Dagda and Luhuk, that they were ready for battle. The Formorian troops arrived with Balor, the champion, at their head. Among the 100,000 casualties of this battle, King Nuadu of the Silver Arm fell victim to the lightning bolt discharged from the Formorian Balor's eye. Luhuk was determined to avenge Nuadu, and with this intent came up to Balor, whose evil eye was covered. When Balor saw his new adversary coming towards him, he began to lift up the lid of his eye, but Luhuk was too quick for him, and casting a sling stone at him, he drove his evil eye right through his head, so that Balor fell to the ground dead in the midst of his terror-stricken warriors. Balor, as we have seen, was the maternal grandfather of his destroyer, Lug. The Formorians were completely routed. The sword of Tethra, the Formorian king, fell into the hands of Ogma, champion of the Tuatha-Danann. Ogma unsheathed the sword and cleaned it. Thereupon the sword told him of all the deeds that had been done by it, for it was the custom of swords in those days to speak, and that is why they have retained a certain magical power down to this day. They spoke, or rather they seemed to speak, for the voices that were heard were those of demons that were hidden in the weapons. And Lug, for his strategic management of the forces of the Tuatha-Danann, and of course for the slaying of Balor, which convincingly ended the second battle of Moytura, was named king.